Let's see here. Well, as I said, Myla and I go back and forth, and we were there in Thailand, in Bangkok, last October, and we had a meeting with somebody fairly early in the evening. So we were wandering around, going there, walking, and to our right was pretty wide alleyway and bright colors, and Myla thought, shopping. We're going to get bargains. I didn't care so much about that, but they were also grilling meat, pork or chicken, and that smell caught my nose. So we were going to go down that alleyway, and we said, oh, but being good Americans, we're going to be late. We'll do that on the way back. So an hour, hour and a half later, still isn't dark. Myla says, oh, bargains, let's go back. So as we begin to go in, we were only two or three steps in that alleyway, but it was very different. The bright colors were gone. The smell of pork and chicken was gone. But there were people milling around. We had gone in there three or four steps. And this young guy, I don't know how old he was, not very old, comes up. Thailand, they do not speak English. This guy's English was very good. Hey, hey, you want girl? You want boy? You want kid? Anything you want, you pick. And then we noticed there were boys, girls, men, women, tall, short, just lined up in this alleyway. And foreigners just come in, and what happens after that, I don't know. We turned around and got out of there. But that's how we were welcomed to Thailand. You know, welcome to Bangkok. And that's sad, because after hundreds of years of missionary presence in Thailand, the country remains 95% Buddhist, less than 1% Christian. As we saw in the video, it's really hard. Churches get focused on different things. And in the Philippines, that would be an A. Right? I've spent 14 years or so in an A country. And now we're trying to transition into a BC. And there's some reasons why the gospel hasn't really moved in Thailand. I mean, it's sin, of course. But according to Operation World, there are over 30,000 Buddhist temples, around 250,000 monks in Thailand, only 5,000 Christian churches, and maybe 250 missionaries. So, I mean, it's not the Red Sox versus the Yankees. I mean, it's not a fair fight at all. So how do we reach a Thai Buddhist? I mean, how do we overcome this evil? How do we help people get out of the darkness? It was just last summer, I think July was it, when that soccer team was all over the news. I don't remember where we were on a Sunday, but that soccer team, they thought they were doing a good thing. Take a hike, go into a cave, the water comes up. They go deeper and deeper, darker and darker. And to me, that really symbolizes Thailand. Good people, healthy, smart, strong, young, vibrant, in a dark cave. And the water's coming up, and they don't know how to get out. And it's going to take others to come and help them get out of that cave. There are many difficulties and misunderstandings for someone even here to understand the gospel in the U.S., much less believe it. Yeah. And we were founded on a belief system that has God. It's on our money. Thailand, there is no concept of God. Right? There is no all-knowing God. Muslims have a concept of God. Jewish people have a concept of God. But the Thai Buddhists have no concept of God. But they believe in the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering. Everyone suffers. Rich, poor, where you live, all people suffer. So that's the one truth. The truth of the cause of suffering. There's a reason. Mostly it's because of our wants, our desires, our passions. We're holding on to things in the world. So we all suffer, and it's because of us. We're holding on to things. Then there's a truth that the end of suffering. See, that cuts the root of our passion. Detach from our greed, detach from the things that hold us back, be less emotional. Doing that leads to happiness. Then the truth of the path leading to the ending of suffering. Right? So there's suffering. There's a cause of our suffering. There is an end of our suffering. And the path that leads there is finding our comfort zone, something that helps us understand ourselves better, a slogan or a motto, right? A motto. Now I'm speaking Filipino English. Just smile, be happy, just do it, right? A verse, something that helps us. So these are the four paths of suffering, the four noble truths that Buddhists hold on to. And on top of that, they have never heard the word Jesus. Never. Right? If you go outside and randomly ask 10 people, what is God? What is Jesus? Maybe all 10 could give you an answer. Certainly 8, just randomly, 8 or 9, I think. Maybe all 10. May not be a good answer, might not be the correct answer. We may not like it. Maybe a negative answer, but they know who God is. You do the same thing in Bangkok, and you probably won't get any. Maybe one. I don't know if it's true, but I once heard, you could live in some places of the U.S. for 10 years and never meet anyone that doesn't know who Jesus is. They may not believe in him, but there are places where if you said Jesus for 10 years, you would not meet anyone that didn't know who that was. Move to Thailand for 10 years, and you may never meet anyone who's ever heard the name Jesus. I mean, think about that for a minute. And that's what drove us. 2 years ago, Converge was trying to changing the way we do missions, and we had this opportunity to go. And that just kind of jumped out at Mile and I, that what we're doing was great. Pastor mentioned, I grew up in Massachusetts. I'm a New Englander. I mean, I watch the Celtics, even though they disappoint me. The Red Sox, I stayed up until 11 o'clock to watch them get killed the other night. And I'm into it. Gronk is gone. You know, who's going to do the Dunkin' Donut commercials with Poppy? Even living in the Philippines, I'm born and bred here. But it's just different, right? And the most powerful tools we have don't work there. I mean, even John 3:16, right? You could probably all say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Talk about a tool for Christendom. You memorize that, you tell people that, you believe in it. But you begin with, for God. Well, when we talk about God, right? A Google search engine in everyone's brain will give us an answer. God's all powerful, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent. Everyone knows that. But the Thai Buddhist has no concept of that. So right from the beginning of that verse, the first two words, we've lost them. What's God? Because of their worldview of all this suffering, it's quite possible that they would interpret the concept of a Christian God as cruel or stupid. It's not a good thing at all. So I love the world. Well, love implies attachment. I love my wife. I love Dunkin' Donuts. I love the Celtics. But there's an attachment. Right? Living in the Philippines, I'll wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the Patriots play. There's an attachment to that. There's an attachment to being a New Englander. But according to the Four Noble Truths, attachment causes us to sin, right? And that religion teaches them to detach from the world, not attach to things. So in order to achieve nirvana, which means blow out, like to blow out the fire of greed, to blow out the fire of your passions, nirvana is to blow things out, to be peaceful, to have no fire. So why do you want to be attached? So love the world. We did that one. So, whatever this God is, to the Thai, he's full of unholy passion because he loves and therefore is a big sinner. That he gave his only begotten son. Well, there's three problems with this. First, the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. If there is no God, there is no Jesus. Right? Second, the Buddhist doesn't believe in killing anything. So, whoever this God is, he's evidently so attached to the world that he killed his own son. Well, you don't want to honor somebody who is going to kill their own son. This isn't someone to be honored. And third, this guy Jesus, he died such a violent death. What's up with him? What did he do in his life that he needs to die a violent death? So we're halfway through the verse, and then the Buddhist is confused, right? And then whoever believes in him, the Thai Buddhist is taught from day one to depend only on himself. There is suffering, there's a cause of our suffering, we detach from our suffering, this is a path to do that. It's all about us. How to be a person of peace, it's up to me. Right? You can only gain merit on his own. So the concept of trusting someone, especially to save them or to help them get to nirvana, is very foreign, right? Should not perish. Well, the Thai person would use perishing from the world when they speak of breaking the cycle of reincarnation and entering nirvana. So if someone who believes in Jesus Christ, according to the Buddhist worldview, they'll never get an opportunity to go to heaven, right? They want to perish and have everlasting life. Well, I mean, the same idea. People believe they already have everlasting life. They're caught in this cycle. They've already had thousands of lives. They're trying to escape everlasting life. And we come down and say, hey, I know how you can have everlasting life. Well, they don't want that. That's not going to bring them peace, right? Life is suffering. Life is hard. We have bills. We have six-year-olds that don't want to go to church. I mean, we all have our different problems in life, you know. So the Thai Buddhist would interpret John 3:16 something like, this cruel or stupid Western God. See, and that's important. Buddhist is Thai and Thai is Buddhist, and Thailand has never been conquered. They are very proud of that fact and will tell you that. The French came, the British have come, Americans have come, no one's ever conquered Thailand. So this Western God is cruel. He lusts after the world so much that he commits a sin by sacrificing his only son so that we'll be caught on the wheel of suffering, death, and rebirth forever and ever and never go to heaven. Oh, good luck finding someone who wants to do that. I mean, even here. You know, so what does that teach us? So it's not a question of do they know we're Christians or do they know what a Christian is, because they see us. They know we're different. So maybe they wouldn't, I shouldn't say they know what a Christian is, but they know we're different. They watch us. It's all about bringing them to Jesus. Much the same way it is here, by letting them experience God through our life. It's not a silent one, it's a consistent one. See, I think that speaks to us. It's a consistently living our life. We make mistakes, but it's consistency. It's community, sharing meals with the Thai, creating relationships that are deeper than just a hi, how are you kind of thing. Right? Trust. Buddhists and Thai Buddhists are trying to find peace. They're trying to find trust. They're in search. They're in search of how to get rid of their suffering. See, 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Jesus, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, and to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Well, here in the West, we use logic, right? Well, this is why it's good for you. This will help your family. This will do this. 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 + 2 = 4. It's very logical. This is why you should come. And we make it easy that way. You know, instead of bearing witness to Christ, we present an argument. Many times. Many times. Christianity is doctrine, the system of thoughts and practices. Well, these are the songs. And this is what we do. And this is what we don't do. And this is how we act. And we present that to a Buddhist, a Thai Buddhist. I mean, they have no, they're not interested in that. So it's sharing Jesus. And that's enough. You know, I don't know what you think of missionaries who comes in and out or what your feeling is, but we're pretty normal. I mean, I've been in this missionary business 15, 20 years and pretty good at it. I mean, no big failures, nothing to confess, you know. Okay at it. But I'm still learning. Last January, I was here, and your pastor agreed to meet with me. And I had some things I really wanted him to do. Very logical. I had a notepad, and I wrote down exactly what I wanted him to do. I get to Banera Bread early. I say a prayer. I'm ready. I'm going to present my argument. He comes in and says, hey, I'm really excited, and I've been thinking about it, and there are three things I think I'm really good at. I can really help you do these three things. It's exactly what I was going to ask him to do. So the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that talks to me, talks to you and her and him. And sometimes I don't realize that. And that's just so freeing to say, well, you know, what's the church planting philosophy? Share Jesus. That's enough. That's really enough. There is no person so poor or so uneducated that they do not have enough to know Jesus. I mean, think about that for a minute. You know, in the beginning of the church, people were afraid of the educated. Now we're afraid of the uneducated. Well, you can't be a pastor until you have this degree. And you can't be a good pastor until you have this degree. And you can't write a book until you... It's all about education and how we've twisted that around. So that, knowing a little bit about the Buddhist mindset or worldview, it's about Jesus. Teaching the gospel, it's a revelation, it's a person. It doesn't take much for a person to say, before I was blind and now I see. It takes no training for a person to say that. In Thailand, it's more about the heart than the head. Not that the head isn't important, but we're really aiming for their heart. Being ready to share your heart with gentleness and respect, that's something we can do. You don't have to go to Bangkok. You can do it in Norwood or Stoughton or wherever we're from, Milford. See? And here in the U.S., missions is part of the organization. You have deacons, you have elders, you have a missionary committee, a mission director, having a mission dinner. It's different, it's separate. But in the early church, missions wasn't anything special. It was just part of the church, right? There was no missions committee. And that's the kind of church that we're trying to start in Thailand. We share the good news, and we tell them to share the good news. We keep it simple. Yeah? Communities of Jesus followers meeting regularly for the purpose of making disciples. You know, simple sentence, but so powerful. Organized in small groups, extended families, groups of people who already have connections, and friendship. Because the same as here is there. People come to church because they're invited. Right? That's why people come to church. We focus on obedience, not knowledge. Relationship with Jesus brings peace. That's something we're always saying in Thailand. Are you a person of peace? Do you want to be a person of peace? See? It's relationship to Jesus that brings that peace. So those are the kind of churches. I mean, it's popular to say we're making disciples to make disciples. And it's not a particular strategy. It's very simple. We live our life consistently sharing Jesus. A former Buddhist monk who is now a Christian, said it this way. I'm a Thai Christian. I used to believe in Buddhism. I think the best way to reach Thai people with the gospel is a message that reflects God's love. God is gracious and compassionate. He loves the Thai so much. Let's pray that he continues to give us opportunities to express his grace and love. For me, those are words we can all live by. Thank you.
Rick, thanks so much. Anybody catch some application there? This is ministry. This is their context. Thailand, the Buddhist worldview. It's tough. I mean, like, man, it was just painful to hear John 3:16 from a Buddhist Thai mentality. And yet, we're asking God to break through. Can I focus on three requests that I'm asking you to pray for Rick and Myla and Thailand? Three requests that are the same essential requests for us on mission here at Trinity Community Church. Rick, because you got the end there, you're saying Trinity's philosophy of ministry. You're all on the missions committee, okay? You're all on mission. We're all on mission. Everybody's in on this. If you think that you're not, we're going to try to get you on, okay? So three requests. First is pray that believers in Thailand and here live with obvious hope. That believers live with obvious hope. Surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Their lives just speak hope. People around them say, wow, there's something about you. Maybe in Thailand the word is peace. That folks see it. Believers live it. And that's us here as well, too. In our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our families. People say, man, what's with you? Because we're surrendered to Jesus. Number two, in Thailand and here, pray that God gives these believers opportunities, that believers living with obvious hope in the context of the ministries, relationships, whatever, people that they're around are like, hey, what's with this hope thing? Hey, tell me more. And you know, it's a process here. Rarely do people become a Christian overnight. Sometimes it's months, years, decades. Think about Thailand, starting from square zero. And maybe even negative in terms of concepts. Pray that those believers have opportunities. Pray that we have opportunities. Resurrection Sunday is coming up. Opportunity. People that don't normally go to church will consider it. Invite them. Pray for opportunities. Number three, pray for open hearts when the message is shared. Only the Spirit of the living God brings life, spiritual life, to spiritually dead hearts. Whether it's here and people that are trusting their money and their knowledge, or over there in a messed up worldview that doesn't understand God, it's the Spirit of God that brings hearts that openness to receive the message when it's shared. Pray that God works. Let's be on our knees praying for that. And part of this 36 hours of prayer is not so we can give you more things to do. It's because we know that it's only God who opens hearts. We need to be praying for the ministry and the missionaries we support and for the ministry and the mission here. Let's pray for those three things. Let's stand together, and we're going to say a prayer, and then our team is going to lead us in our closing song. I hope you come on back this evening to our missions dinner, because we really we want to continue to hear about the ministry, pray for these guys, know that God cares about those people in Thailand, and let's see the gospel go forward in a mighty way there. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do pray that believers would live with obvious hope, surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Lord. Believers in Thailand and those that you send there and those that are partnering with this Thai initiative, Rick and Myla and others, and also believers here to live with obvious hope. And God, that our lives might reflect the reality of Jesus day in, day out. Lord, we pray as well for opportunities to share, that those that we are around and those that the believers in Thailand are around that do not have hope, that you would give opportunities little by little and in big open doors as well, Lord, for that message to be shared, the hope that we have to be explained in the best way, in a clear way, in a way that you would use. And, Lord, we pray as well for open hearts. You would open hearts here and there, people near and people in Thailand, people wherever the message is proclaimed, Lord, believers sharing would result in the message being heard and the Spirit of God bringing life to those that need hope that Jesus alone provides. Lord, this is our prayer. We commit it to you. We commit ourselves to you. We ask that you would use us, each and every one of us, grow us, each and every one of us, and for your blessing for Rick and Myla in particular and the Thai Buddhist Initiative in a mighty way. We lift all of this up, Lord. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.